Yes, and it's much easier to control when you're not tired. I have found that if you're tired at the end of the day, like for example with the little children, it gets a little bit more complicated to control what you output.
Well, there's this thing that so many of you do. So let's say that you begin to recognize that your enthusiasm for this day or this moment or this experience is waning a little bit. You can feel it's early and it's subtle, but you've decided that you're going to take Abraham at our word and you're not going to push through. You're not going to stay up just because everybody else wants to, or you're not going to persevere. You're going to serve yourself. You're going to be kind to yourself. You're going to follow your path of least resistance. So you get the rest that is good for you. And in that action, which was inspired from emotion, you find alignment and you practice it, and you are usually there. Since alignment is the restorative factor of who you are, it restores your clarity, it restores your abundance, it restores your vitality. It's the restorative, regenerative, it's the replenishment of who you are. So if you are selfish enough to care about that, then you have so much to give to your children and others. But if instead you get sideways in your understanding of this, and you hear that you're supposed to serve others, which means you're not tending to what your guidance is telling you. Instead, you're superimposing what you think someone else needs or wants from you. So you are serving them. You're staying up later than you really want to, or than really feels good to you. And so you are giving everything that you've got. You're giving until you are pinched off from the replenishment. And then, even though you're there, you're not tuned in, tapped in, turned on. You're not giving even anything close to the best of yourself. In your attempt to be all things to all people, or even a lot of things to some people, what happens is you get crossways of your own guidance system. We're going to say something really bold to you, to all of you, and that is, if your primary intention is in service of others, and we're not saying don't help others, don't uplift others, don't serve others, we're saying you must replenish yourself first or you have nothing to serve them with. Since that replenishment factor is essential to any advantage that you offer to anyone, we want to say that when you put others first, it backfires 100% of the time. Because when that becomes your habit, when that becomes your attitude, when that becomes your behavior, when that becomes your practiced way of living, then you begin to feel resentful because no one can reflect back to you enough appreciation to make up for what you are missing in the not allowing yourself alignment with who you really are. You cannot use something that is outside of you and something that's inside of you as guidance at the same time. When your intention is the relationship between you and you, and you get good at reviving yourself, good at finding the subtle stages of it, good at staying tuned in before the momentum takes you far from it, then, oh then, your timing's right, the things that you say is just right, your playfulness is right, everything about you is good, you are the uplifter that you were born to be. Not the server that you were born to be, because you weren't born to be a server. You were born to uplift, but you can't uplift unless you are uplifted, you see. And so everyone you know has access to their own upliftment. And so the way you serve others is by demonstrating through your own relationship with your own inner being what alignment really is. And so as you move around happy and smiling and feeling good and vital and replenished, others can benefit by the power of your example. But if you then get all tuned up, all filled up, all full of yourself, and then you see someone else who could use some, and you decide that you're going to cheer them up. You decide that you are going to measure your behavior against their response to you. So you give your undivided or nearly undivided attention to them. How are they responding? And there's usually more than just your children. There's usually a whole cadre of those that you are trying to find their response to you. And so now their response is what you're looking for, but you can't count on it. Because you can't count on them being tuned in, tapped in, turned on. Sometimes they are, even often they are, but often they are not. And so as you are looking for that, you're looking for that alignment in all the wrong places, you see. And so before you know it, the momentum of that is one of, you don't bring me flowers anymore. You don't make me feel the way you used to make me feel. I don't feel the way I used to feel. I like the way you made me feel when I was the only object of your attention and you gave me your undivided attention. Well, that only lasts a little while with anyone, you see. It's no one's job to replace your connection with Source. And when you ask them to, you do a disservice to yourself and to them. And when you try to do it for them, you do a disservice for them. It is like saying to them, I see that you have not found your own alignment with Source, so I will dance a jig so that you will find alignment. I will do anything that I can think of doing so that you will find alignment, because I see that you cannot do it for yourself. And it doesn't take much of that before you begin to believe that and you begin to looking for others for the upliftment or for the fulfillment that you seek. But it's always an empty promise because it was never theirs to give. It was never theirs to give. What you're looking for was never someone else's to give. Oh, they can inspire it through their connection, and you know that. Don't you know those attractive people? Don't you love when someone gets tuned in, tapped in, turned on? Don't you enjoy the geniuses of your world who tune in and find those inventions, or tune in and find that music, or tune in and find that art or that passion? You are drawn to those who are in that state of being, but they cannot shine their light on you. You've got your own connection to your own light, you see. Isn't that good to know?
Yes.
So, the ideal thing, Esther has been saying recently to friends and family, I keep getting these like 4-second glimpses where I see the entire world as living unconditionally. We're not dancing jigs for each other. We are not needing conditions to change in order to feel good. We've got it, that we can find the emotion of it. We're not needing the manifestation before we feel good. We can find the feeling good. We can find the feeling good. We can find the feeling good without the condition. We can find the feeling good without the condition. Therefore, I am unconditional. I don't need the condition to feel good. Oh, yeah. Plenty of conditions cause me to feel good when I focus upon them. That's a wonderful thing. But I'm not conditioned to conditions. So the condition that feels good doesn't serve me, while the condition that doesn't feel good takes me to my knees. I'm no longer dependent on the conditions. I've become unconditional. I've discovered how to find my way to this feeling place and to practice it and maintain it so that I am affecting the conditions that come to me, that I am alerted to, that I'm drawn to, that surround me. And so she will say, I can feel these 4 or 5 or 10, they're getting longer and longer, little second snatches where we've all learned, the whole world has discovered how to be unconditional, which means we're not holding each other hostage for the way we behave in order for the way we feel. We've decided how we want to feel. We've learned what our guidance system is, and we follow our own guidance system when we find ourselves mostly feeling good. And then, since everybody is doing that, then law of attraction just brings us together for this moment in time, and this one, and this one. Not to walk hand in hand with one and ever forever, holding each other hostage to the way we feel forevermore. Until death do us part, I hold you responsible for the way that I feel. None of that. I'm in alignment. I'm responsible for the way I feel. My guidance system assists me in taking that responsibility and living it well. And then law of attraction brings me together with you and you and you and you and you, because there are a myriad of subjects within me that are active and that I'm interested in. I'm interested in this. You may not be, but you are, and you are, and you are, and you are. And law of attraction brings us together who are in alignment that are interested in this. Or law of attraction brings us together who are not in alignment about things. In other words, everything you see, every cluster of everything that you see, is because law of attraction has perfectly managed the vibrational frequency of the components of that coming together, you see. So, oh, can't you just feel what it feels like when you've practiced it more and you are in tune with who you are more of the time, and now you are reveling in what's coming to you? Esther looks around at you. She looks around at the friends that she's hanging around with, and she feels such appreciation of what the universe is reflecting back to her. And she knows that most of it is because of her positive attention, and some of it is because of her negative attention. But it is what it is, and it all is good. Every bit of it is good. Every bit of it is good. Every bit of it is good, because out of every bit of it is the more and the more and the more and the more and the more. That is the promise of the eternalness of that which we all are, you see. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Enough?
I could say more further.
Yeah. That's what you're looking for.
Yes.
Contrast good.